to Talking Championships here on loverugbyleague.com. This is the only podcast that you'll hear around the world of rugby league where we talk exclusively about the championship clubs. My name is Dave Parkinson, as always, I'm joined by Adrian Jackson. And Adrian, we're talking Northern Rail Cup, really, aren't we?
You're quite right, we are talking about the Northern Rail Cup. It is the championship's version of the Challenge Cup. And bear in mind, the season for the championship clubs don't start until at least March. It's all about the Northern Rail Cup. Now, one or two fans might think, oh, clubs want to use this to prepare for the forthcoming season. When you talk to any coaches that are taking part in this tournament, they want to go all the way to Blackpool and win it.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, the profile that the Northern Rail Cup final has in particular these days is almost, dare I say it, as big as the Grand Final itself. Now, you can take part in Grand Final days, but having said that and having been to it, there's six clubs which take the limelight at the Northern Rail Cup final. There's only two clubs that take the limelight that day.
Also, as well, it's a big thing for the clubs to win as well. As we just fans know all about it, we just went all out to win that tournament to take one of those elusive boxes.
Yeah, well, it's the main reason why they're sitting up in Super League at the moment. I would say sitting pretty, but after two games, it's not quite as good as certainly some witness fans and some of the witness club would have been hoping for. But, yes, you're quite right, Adrian. At the time, when they had to win it, they did win it, and that really did put them on a good footing for their Super League license bid.
Now, unfortunately, at the first round stage of the Northern Rail Cup, a large chunk of the games fell foul of the appalling weather we've had in the UK in recent weeks. So there were no games for Gateshead versus Doncaster, Hunter versus Whitehaven, London Scholars versus Toulouse, Wimbledon versus Ferguson, Rochdale versus South Wales, and York City Knights versus Swinton Lions. I noticed John Stankovic tweeting his frustration about the fact his game against the South Wales Scorpions was postponed. They might get to play again this week.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, the Vets have been dying to play it. In fact, they've rearranged that game. There's four of those games that you were talking about, Adrian, have been rearranged. This forthcoming Wednesday, we've got Huntsford Hawks against Whitehaven, Oldham against Featherstone Rovers, Rochdale Hornets take on South Wales Scorpions, and York City Knights will host Swinton. That is all on Wednesday night. Now, it does make for an interesting weekend, that, doesn't it? Because there's a number of them clubs in that Oldham. If those games go ahead, they'll all be doubling up come Sunday.
Yeah, we can do a full-time place, won't they? I think it's a double all right. That'd be a real test of stamina for what are part-time players. So, interesting week ahead for those guys. For the ones who got off first-time lucky at the weekend, there's some interesting games, but let's give you the score lines first, and then we'll reflect on the action that just happened. It's Juicy Rams 6, Halifax 36, Keith Cougars 16, Batley Bulldogs 22, Lee Centurions 48, Barrow Raiders 16, Workington Town 14, Sheffield Eagles 28. I'm sure John Keir would have loved meeting up with a couple of old Wakefield Trinity Wildcat boys, and he'd be even more happy that he got one over Jason Dimitri.
Well, we were at the Northern Rail Cup final. We were at the Northern Rail Cup launch just a couple of weeks ago, and John Keir was actually really looking forward to that game, which would pit his Batley side against some of his old charges from his Wakefield days over at Keith, and now pulling on the Cougars jumper. And I get the feeling he would have enjoyed that immensely. I mean, Jason Dimitriou, a fantastic player in his time for Wakefield in particular. Yes, he did serve with this well, and also I think he had a short stint with Charlie as well, if you go back right back to the start of his English career. And he also had a stint with Rochdale as well, so he certainly knows what it's like to play at this level of rugby. And he's still doing it. He pulled on the shirt for Keith Lacougas after threatening to retire at the end of last season. Obviously, Jason Dimitriou feels that he can still commit and still give a real effort on the pitch.
Like in the old boy, that's what I say.
Definitely. But John Keir, I think, will be happy that he's been able to put one over some of those former Trinity charges.
Well, Jason Dimitriou did score a try for Keith Lacougas, but it's all in vain, wasn't it? Batley Bulldogs, the winners 2 years ago, and then looking to maybe repeat that record again. And they were just far too strong for Keith Lacougas over the 80 minutes.
Two of my dark horses for this particular cup competition, though, I think the Cougars have really recruited well. They've brought some real good experience in, and once they all start playing together and slotting into a format which Dimitriou can mould, I think they will go really well in the championship as well. Batley, you're quite right with the master coach at the helm in John Keir, who, let's face it, we've talked about it last week. The only thing he hasn't won in his career has been the Northern Rail Cup. I think that we've got themselves into a really good position. There's a lot of local players there, there's a lot of local pride, and certainly being able to come back from 10-4 down at half time suggests there's plenty of life in the Bulldogs as well.
Yeah, they take a lot of confidence from that, and they'll be looking to kick on in the next stage of the Northern Rail Cup. You spoke about the meeting with ex-Wakefield colleagues between Keith and Batley Bulldogs. Well, at the eSports Image, it was the meeting of two crisis clubs off the field, Slater and East Centurion, taking on Battle Raiders.
Yeah, both of these club supporters, just thankful of them that this fixture was able to take place, because if you'd looked even just 4 months back in history, well, both of these teams were heading into oblivion, weren't they? But thankfully, both got to the starting line. Barrow, with Darren Holt in the helm, play a coach role. And Holt is also the top club point scorer ever at Barrow. He's a real club legend, and he's done well. He's put together a competitive unit of local-based players. And I sort of emphasise the word local, because we've seen travelling legions of them head the way up to Barrow the last couple of seasons, with Des Johnston's money being the main driving factor. It's good to get that local pride back.
Come back to basics.
Yeah, you're quite right. Looking at Lee Centurions as well, they have recruited pretty well. They're a bit thin on numbers, but they have recruited well. They've got some players of real championship quality, if you look at the likes of Bob Bezek. They've added in the likes of Ryan Briley as well, who made his first team debut. He's played in all the friendlies, scored something like 4 or 5 tries in those, and kicked a few goals as well. And he was able to inject himself off the bench. His very first touch, he went 60 metres for a try, and he also added 3 goals and scored 2 tries on that debut. So, interesting game there at the Sports Village, with Leeds coming out on top.
Barrow certainly competed in the first half, didn't they? I'm sure Darren Hall would be disappointed with the second half.
He was. I mean, we did speak to him after the game. Sadly, we'd love to bring you that interview, but he had to nip off, so we weren't able to actually record it. But the little conversation that I did manage to have with Darren, he was really, really happy with the first half. He felt that the Raiders put in a tremendous effort. They actually held Lee on their own line for quite some time in that first half, which I don't think many teams will be able to do. But Lee and Paul Rowley in particular, who we'll be hearing from just a little while, it was the 9-minute purple patch which really did seal it. He scored in the 51st minute, and by the 60th minute, they had 4 tries on the board. That was really the difference. Rowley was disappointed, if you like, with the actual performance, but the scoreline he was quite happy with.
I'm sure he's taking it. That's his first game back in the role as head coach at the Centurions.
Yeah, definitely, and he's certainly one to warm the cockles of the hearts. That was clearly one of those grim and grimy days in Lee.
One of many, that's what I can say.
And at times it was like being back at the old Hilton Park, so I was in my 11th. But it did finish 48-16 in Lee Centurion's favour. One of the other games that took place was up in Cumbria, when Workington took on Sheffield. Now, Sheffield, they've also been looking to build and look at really putting in a performance in this cup competition. They haven't really managed it in previous years, but they had to battle all the way. They trailed 14-6 at half time, and Workington, they were good value for that lead at half time.
They were lifting the lips at the force of Sheffield Eagles going there. They might have been thinking they'd get off to a good start here. And claim a famous feature for Workington's time, and he did get off to a good start. Unfortunately, it's back to the drawing board for them, because they need to be able to take that work rate in the first half and do it in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, Sheffield do have a lot of firepower out wide, don't they? So when you're adding the likes of Mentor in, Tower Pepper, who was one of the try scorers for Sheffield, they are a difficult team to play against. And Workington certainly did the half of the job, a bit like Barrow in some respects. They did the job half of the way through the game. Mossop and Carter scoring for them, with new signing Cal Farber kicking 3 goals. But in the second half, Sheffield gradually got on top of them, with Morrison and Harrison exerting themselves on the game. Youngster Scott getting over the line, and Soshtak as well going over, with Brown Barney kicking 2 goals and Brown kicking 2 goals.
That's Sheffield's power, isn't it? It's the power of the park, and they've got the big men out wide to really do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, I touched on it before, but I mean, Tal Papa is very unlucky not to be playing in Super League. He signed a Super League contract at the end of last season, didn't he, with Hawkingston Rovers? But then had a change of heart, a change of coach, and next thing you know, he signed up with Sheffield. And I think that Hawkingston Rovers loss is definitely Sheffield's game, because he's a top player, is he, Tal Papa?
Neither to Halifax, that's Cal Harrison, needing more than happy to get away from the Tetley Stadium with a 36-6 victory over Dewsbury.
Yeah, I think he'll have been happy as well with the fact that his new Halifax charge has only conceded 6 points, and that was a try midway through the game from former Bradford player Crossley, converted by Pat Walker. I think he'll also have been really happy with the way that Halifax finished the game. He scored 2 tries in the last 6 minutes, and that really did tip this particular tie in their favour. 14-0 at half time, the job was half done, and Halifax went and extended that advantage in the second half.
Like you say about Halifax, they've been improving as the game's gone on.
Yeah, they will. I mean, they've got a good team there, they've got a good coaching staff in place. They did receive a blow themselves over the last few days when Mick Manning revealed that he'll be out for the season with a knee injury, and we believe it's a full knee reconstruction. Now, you can say what you like about Mick Manning, but he's a point scorer supreme. He's in the top 10 of all-time rugby league point scorers. He's going to be a huge miss for Halifax over the course of the season. But I think the fact that they've got Steve Tyner in there, he's a similar sort of points getter, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got such a thing to bring in, isn't he? And they're doing a good job with Steve Tyner. Big blow that they haven't got Mick Manning, but in Steve Tyner, they have got a suitable replacement. And yeah, that's down here, a couple of try scorers for Halifax. It was two in the old Batley Bulldog charge, and that's in Hanforth and Nettie.
Yeah, you'll actually find out there's three there, Rick.
I can't count.
Because, well, I wasn't going to say anything, you know, but why not? This is our podcast. I can take the mic. No doubt you'll have the opportunity to take the mic out to me soon.
I'm sure, just naming everything as well, I think Cal Harrison will be looking at the Mount Pleasant Stadium and thinking, I can maybe nick one or two more players off Joel and Kay.
Well, you never know, do you? I mean, everybody's now signed up for this coming season. But after that, I guess it's free for all again, isn't it? The try scorers on the day for Halifax were Bowman, Thackeray, Robinson, Hanforth, Aretti, Penkovic, and Asho. Now, Penkovic, he's been one of the top performers for many a season up at the top end of the championship. Does it surprise you that he hasn't really tasted cup success so far?
I suppose it's a surprise for him as well, isn't it? Really, he's one of the top players within the championship. He's just been unfortunate not to be having the opportunity to get to an All-America Cup final. I'm sure he'll be going all out with the new York Halifax team to put that record straight.
But you mentioned John Stankovic before, and he's got a pedigree for bringing through younger players, hasn't he? Certainly over the last few years for the Rochdale Hornets, he's been able to bring in players that he's worked with, give young players a chance. One of those is Ashall, who's now moved on to bigger and better things with Halifax, and he's another very promising player, isn't he? Back row forward can also move up to hooker. Now, such versatility could be invaluable over the course of a championship season.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's not all about just playing one position and sticking with that position. You've got to have a bit of flexibility with what role you can play within the squad, and the coach will identify that and put you in where it's needed and where it's required. So to have that in your game, that just gives your team the advantage somewhat against opposition. That's their job standard. It's many youngsters out there thinking about maybe where can they go to get the chance to play regular rugby league and learn and progress under what is a good coach. John Standard is the man.
All the championship clubs are also pretty good to get to as well, I hasten to add. You know, the likes of York have a very good...
But you brought Stankovic's name into that.
Well, I did, but, you know, part of what I'm thinking is that, you know, there's a number of championship clubs who will do a very good job in bringing young players through. I was going to mention York. The Shrewsbury tend to pick up their first year as well when, you know, the Super League clubs decide that they've had enough of them and discard some of the younger players. Batley have got a younger back line this year. And, you know, you've got to look at the likes of Lee, who's got Sam Hopkins, Anthony Nicholson, and Craig Briscoe all coming through. They're all 21 or under, and they all likely become top rugby league players.
And they're only half of it, it's just top place in round one of the North America Cup. But just looking at some of those games, it looks like it's going to be an open competition this time around.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, it was one of those where perhaps the favourites all won, didn't they? But they were all given a game. They were all made to work hard for the victories. I mean, even looking at the final outcome there between Halifax and Dewsbury, Dewsbury were very competitive for more than an hour of that particular clash. And to be honest, there's very few sides that will fancy making that trip to the Tetley Stadium at this time of year.
Now, we mentioned the rearranged games that are taking place. Let's give the line-up for next weekend's action in round two of the Northern Rail Cup. It's a versus Workington Town, to whet the appetite of fans up in Cumbria. That'll be Bulldogs take on London Scholars, Doncaster versus York City Knights, Fenton Rovers versus Chiefs Rams, Halifax take on Johnstone Village, who's Rochdale Hornets, Sheffield Eagles versus Leeds Centurions, Southall Scorpions versus Oldham, Swinton Lions versus Huddersfield Hawks, and finally it's Whitehaven versus Gateshead Fulham. And the fixture that stands out for me, it's got to be Sheffield Eagles versus Leeds Centurions.
That does look like the tie of the round, doesn't it? But I'll also be interested to keep my eye on Barrow Raiders taking on Workington Town. Barrow have had to put a side together in next to no time. Workington ended up losing half of their players to Barrow, so I think there'll be some scores to settle there.
Maybe a couple of dust ups, is that what you're suggesting?
Well, you never know. You never know. It's a Cumbrian derby as well, so it could get a little bit tasty. I'll be interested to find out who the referees for the weekend will be as well. But you're quite right in picking out Sheffield and Leeds Centurions. That game will take place over at the Don Valley Stadium, so Bramall Lane unavailable for this particular round of fixtures. But that is quite a formidable task in itself, to go to the huge Don Valley Bowl and come out of that with a victory.
Just back to the why would you call it a Cumbrian derby, by the way, because I think the distance between Barrow and Workington is about 40 miles, isn't it?
You've been checking out the TomTom. He's on Google Maps.
I mean, it's in Cumbria, so they have the right to call it a Cumbrian derby, but my idea of a derby is either two teams in the one area or a couple of miles apart, not 40.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of distance between them, but as I mentioned, there's going to be a lot of interest, I think, purely because a lot of the Workington players are now over at Barrow and they'll be looking at scores to settle problem.
And you mentioned John Stankovic being frustrated with the lack of first team action for his day. He's bothered to get used to being back in the big league or rugby league. Two games in a week, he'd be fancying his chances against Southall or Scorpions, but I'm sure they'll make it a difficult game in midweek. And then he's got the real acid test of taking on Halifax.
I think both of those are very difficult games. Southwell Scorpions have recruited extremely well for the forthcoming season. They've got Jamie Rooney down there. Can you believe that? They've done really well to get a player of his quality down there, a former England international. And he'll really set the standard, I think, down in South Wales for future signings. And I'm tipping him to make a huge impression down there in the valleys. Any other games that kind of catch your eye of that lot, Adrian?
Yeah, just looking at the fixtures where the outpost clubs go to this weekend, and London Scholars won't fancy the trip to Batley. It will be a daunting trip for them as well, won't it?
It's a massive test, that, especially when you consider what they're going to have to come up against, and that is that formidable Mount Pleasant pitch, isn't it? And on the slope, I bet some of them players will never play on a pitch like that again. It's a big task, that, for London Scholars, but they have been much improved in pre-season. They really did give London Broncos a game in the City Challenge, which took place just about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And they could be fancying the chances a little bit, perhaps.
Also, as well, Gateshead Fulham had a lot of their problems on the field and off the field last year. They really struggled to get to Gateshead to life in the Championship when became the whipping boy for that division last season. They get to play against Doncaster, and there on Sunday, you have to trip up to Whitehaven. That's going to be even more difficult.
That is a difficult one, especially when you look at the personnel that Whitehaven have brought in. Lee Duran is really looking forward to it. And a little bit of Whitehaven news is that Lee Duran has been named a co-captain of Whitehaven this season, alongside the experienced McAvoy in the centre. So, with those two at the helm, and yeah, this is a name from the past 4 years, still playing his trade up at Whitehaven. Howard Hill. Can you believe that he's still going? He used to play Super League for Oldham.
Because he's playing on a team, my friend.
I tell you what, I don't know what defeats some of these Cumbrians, but they do go on for years and years. We've talked about Whitehaven. I'll just mention Workington. And I was also reading very recently that two of their players have also shelved retirement plans. And that is Neil Fraser, who's been going on for years, a pretty good outside back. And Ryan McDonald as well. He's shelved retirement plans for another year. He just doesn't know when to pack in, does he?
That's fair, that's what rugby players do. They only look the game, they feel the body's up to it, they just carry on playing, don't they? Now we talked about the action, just don't know what's coming up. One happy coach going to be with Leeds Centurions, Paul Rowley and Dave Corso, with a massive big win against Barrow Raiders in round one.
I think we spoke a lot in the week about performance rather than result, and obviously very pleased with the result, a little bit disappointed in our performance. I think as a unit we've set ourselves better standards, but there's some new challenges going on today. I think first challenge we went in as favourites, which obviously we've not done. We've been carefree and lucky going into the last three, nothing to lose type of thing, backs against the wall. So it's a new challenge in that respect on our approach to the game. And then second of all, we went behind early doors, which was also a new challenge. So we found ourselves in a ball game at half time against a team pretty much like ourselves, nothing to lose, backs against the wall, and had a good dig at us, they did. So it was a particularly slow game, which didn't suit us. Partly created by ourselves in the way we presented ourselves, and didn't get enough one-on-one opportunities to speed up the ruck. They presented us with a defensive style with a real tight line and a sliding defence, which you know, we've got to learn to cope. You don't come across that style much now. People defend generally an up and in style defence, so it was a new challenge on how we dealt with that. And I think we come up short a little bit in the first half, but we mixed it up and added a little bit more variation and had a bit more about us in the second half. So we showed some good stuff, and obviously the results were, you know, very good.
What about first half then? What was your completion rate then?
Oh, it was we finished the game around 60s, so we've been completing around 80s, and we knew against this lad, these lads, they're visibly tired. 30 minutes into that first half, visibly tired, and we was around 60%. So, you know, imagine putting some back-to-back sets and speeding up the game. We would have made life a lot easier for ourselves, but as it was, we let them dictate the pace, and I thought it was officiated in a bit of a slow way as well. I think they could have contributed to a quicker game too. So, all in all, I don't think it was a spectacle, but we've got 2 points. It's the first competitive game. We've come away with a win, so we'd have took the scoreline before the game, that's for sure.
Any injuries picked up?
Yeah, we've got, obviously, Ricky Barbie come off in the first half and didn't reappear. He showered up, so first sign's not looking too good on possible groin tear. So that'd be a lengthy layoff if so. So we was down to, I think, 18 fit players today, as it were. So the first challenge comes now. So this is what it's all about. We knew these times. I've said before that we're going to go through some tough spells with injuries. And lo and behold, week two, and here they are. So it gets exciting now. This is where the real challenge begins.
And what about Bob Bezic? I believe that he was fighting off flu, wasn't he?
No, that's not the case. Bob had a bit of a niggle on his knee. He got a training injury picked up during the week. Struggled with it all week. Had a late fitness test. Didn't go into the game 100%. That tells you, you know, the situation we're in. Obviously, first game of the season, you don't want to start risking players. We took lots of medical advice, and he wasn't going to make it any worse. So, you know, the fact that he could get through, even though not 100%, but not make it worse, was important. So hopefully now he'll be fighting fit for next week, because we did get an opportunity to rest him, and his deputant come on, and probably, you know, he could have easily walked away with the man of the match. Thought Nico was outstanding.
And what about anybody back for next week? I mean, you said you're down to Burr 17. Do you get any players back this week?
Possibly Jimmy Taylor. He was declared fit last week by the medical staff. So I suppose he's available for selection, but a little bit off pace.
What about Tommy Gouldon? Because he thought he might go for a lot longer, didn't he?
Yeah, Tommy, he's a quick recoverer, and I stated at the time he's a tough lad, so he defies medical knowledge, just Tommy, and you know, he received a round of applause today off the players for some of his sacrificial acts that he did today's game. I thought he was outstanding, very brave, and did them little things that most people don't do, the things that go unnoticed. He's the man that does it, the kick pressures, getting on loose balls, you know, don't usually get pat on the back for it, and he goes and does it. So hats off to Tommy. He's a valuable player, and we're glad to have him back.
Thank you very much.
Certainly, Craig Briscoe's come on in
recent weeks. It's interesting. Like you, Craig Briscoe, and your Sam Hopkins are just look like they're part of the furniture now. Maybe it's been a case of put them on and hold your breath and let's see if they make it. You know what they're up to, type of thing. But you're putting them on now as people who we're relying on, who we have trust in, and who don't let you down. And Sam will tell you what makes a good player. It's consistency, and they're bringing it to the table at the moment. So week one, obviously, but that's a challenge. Consistent week in, week out.
Poor Oliver, he wasn't fully happy with the performance, but he was there, but he sounded like a head coach, isn't he, man? And I just think that Lee Centurion still look forward to this game against Sheffield Eagles. It will be interesting. You heard him say there that Ricky Pybe is an early doubt, and sadly for Pybe, he was out most of last season with an injury as well. There's a player that on his day can be fantastic for a championship club, but he's tended to have real injury problems throughout his career.
Yeah, injury seems to have gone hand in hand with Ricky Pybe. I think they really dogged him. It's not really helped him to achieve his full potential with what he's shown as a youngster that we can mention. Paul Rowley being back in the hot seat at Lee Centurion, second time round for Rowley. In the off-season, one of those two names have been banded about once your eyebrows have been raised. So by putting Paul Rowley back in there, surely that was the obvious choice for Lee Centurion, wasn't it?
You would think so, but I can see the club's point of view. They advertised the position. In the first instance, Paul did not put his name forward for it, so they had to go through a recruitment process. Now, since then, things have changed. The team has gone unbeaten through pre-season. They look pretty good. They look like a team that can score points and will ask questions of defences, and the obvious choice, because Paul has been so instrumental in bringing so many of these players in, the obvious choice was Rowley. So before we go, Adrian, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Give us your picks for the Northern Rail Cup this week. Not pictures.
I'm using my expert opinion. Anyway.
This is what you'd like me to know, folks.
I'm going to go for a win for Workington Town, Paddy Bulldogs, Doncaster, Ferguson Rovers, Halifax, Sheffield Eagles, Southall Scorpions, Smilton Ravens and Whitehaven.
You heard it here first. Join us next week for another Talking Championships, where we'll be reflecting on all this week's action and looking back on two rounds of Northern Rail Cup fixtures for some teams.